This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Erechin, Tape Number 1. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis, or those who have learned through the Masechta. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible in summarizing the highlights and key kalalim of the Masechta. However, it is possible that on occasion, something will not be reflected correctly.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Ha'isha Yehudis Bas Rabbi Yosef, leader, Zichrona Levracha. Our Magid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We are beginning Be'ezras Hashem Masechta Erechin. As background, a person can make one of two kinds of promises where he promises to give the value of his worth to the Beis HaMikdash. Number one, a neder damim, which is the market value of someone who was sold as a slave. And number two, neder erech, the special value prescribed by the Torah depending on the age of the person and whether the person is a zachar or a nekeva. For example, a male child who is 1 month old, the erech of that child is 5 sloim. And the Mishnah says, everyone can make a neder of erech for his own value or for the value of someone else. And everyone can be the subject of someone else's neder. This includes Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, Nashim, and Avadim. But a tumtum, who is a Safik Zachar, Safik Nekeva, or an Adragonus, who has Simanim of both Zachar and Nekeva, they can make a neder, but they cannot be the subject of a neder. Since the Pasuk says, only a definite Zachar or a definite Nekeva can be the subject of an Erech. A Cheresheh Devekotten can be the subject, but they can't make a Neder since they lack Das. And the Gemara says, only someone who has a market value, Damim, to be sold, can be used for a Neder Erech. By Smichas Karban, a person can only do Smicha for his own Karban, not on his father's Karban, that he received via Yerusha. One also cannot do smicha on the carbon of a friend. A katan only becomes mechuyev in mitzvahs lulav and other mitzvahs via chinuch once he is old enough that he doesn't call out for his mother when he wakes up in the morning. The Gemara says when the Braisa says hakol chayovin betzitzis, what is hakol coming to include? It comes to include a katan as well, that once he knows how to put them on, the parents, through the inyan of chinuch, must put tzitzis on the child. We should point out that al pi halacha, the mitzvah to put tzitzis on one's four-cornered beged pertains only to a person who wears a four-cornered beged, but one who doesn't put on a four-cornered beged is not in violation of the mitzvah, even though he's not wearing any garments with tzitzis. The Gemara says when the Braisa says hakol chayev biri'ya, it's coming to include even chatzi eved chatzi ben charen. Riyah, by the way, is a mitzvah to come to the Beis HaMikdash on the Shalish Regalim. The Gemara also says that a father should buy his son tefillin when the boy is old enough to take care of the tefillin. The Torah was only created for the purpose of Piri V'Rivya, to have children. As the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Mem Hei, says, Lo'isayhu v'roha l'sheves yitzara. The world was not created to be empty. Finally, all are also chayef to hear Shofar and to hear the Megillah. And this hakol by Shofar comes to include nashim as well, even though nashim are normally pater from mitzvah haseh shazman grama, but here it comes to include them. Daf Gimel. Even though Megillah, Kriyas HaMegillah, is a mitzvah haseh shazman grama, women are still mechuyev to hear the Megillah and to be mitzi. They're allowed to be mitzi others as well in Megillah, since as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, af hein hayu ba'isei hanes. They were a major part of the miracle of Purim, and that if Haman would have carried out his threats, they would have been killed as well. Masechta Psachim, Daf Kuf Ches Amid Beis, Taisus gives another explanation for Afein Ayu Bais Anes, and he says that this is one of the reasons, but another explanation of what that means is that the women played an integral part in seeing to it that Anes happened. For example, Yehudis by Hanukkah, and Esther by Purim. She was very much a part of the whole Nes that happened, or she was one of the conduits to allow the miracle to occur. Rashi explains here that women are mechuyev in the mitzvah of Megillah, and in fact they can even be mitzi on behalf of other men. They can read it for other men and be mitzi other men. Kudus al-Daf brings the Bahag, which is brought in Taisvis, who cites a Tosefta, which indicates that women are putter from reading the Megillah, and thus he rules that women are not qualified to read the Megillah on behalf of men. Only one who is obligated in a mitzvah can be mitzi others. The Bahag explains that although our Gemara says that women are mechuyev in the mitzvah because of afhein ayu ba'isai hanes, they're only mechuyev to hear the reading of the Megillah, but they're putter from the mitzvah to read the Megillah. According to the Bahag, the Gemara, which says that even women are qualified to read the Megillah for others, means that a woman may read the Megillah for another woman, but not for another man. The Bahag indicates that there are really two components in the mitzvah of Megillah. Number one, the kriya, the reading, and number two, the shmiya, the listening. And he holds that women are only mechuyev in the shmiya aspect of the mitzvah, whereas men are obligated in kriya as well. This, of course, does not mean that each man must read the Megillah for himself, because we know there's a principle of shemea ka'ina, that one who listens to someone read it on his behalf is considered as though he read it by himself. The Marcheshes in Chelek Aleph, Simen Chof Beis, Sifkot and Tes, in seeking a rationale for the Bahag's assertion, brings in Gemara, which is brought on Daf Yud Amid Beis here, and in Megillah on Daf Yudalot Amid Aleph. Rav Nachman explains that the reason we do not recite Hallel on Purim, as we do on other holidays, is that the reading of the Megillah takes the place of Hallel. Kriyasa zu hi hilula. This takes the place. By reading the Megillah, it's as if you're saying the Hallel. The Marcheshes explains, based on this Gemara, that the reading of the Megillah has twofold significance to it. Number one, it publicizes the miracle of Purim, Pirsumei Nisa, like we kindle the menorah in Chanukah. And number two is the fulfillment of the mitzvah to recite Hallel. It's our expression of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our deliverance. The Marcheshes explains that there are several practical differences between these two aspects. Number one, women are mechuyev in Pirsumei Nisa, but are not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Hallel. Number two, to fulfill the obligation of Pirsumei Nisa, it's sufficient to hear the Megillah, whereas the mitzvah of Hallel can only be fulfilled through reading the Megillah, or having it read on one's behalf, Shemei Kaina, as we mentioned before, because Hallel requires recitation, not just Shmiah. Number three, at night there is no obligation to recite Hallel. Thus, the Megillah reading at night is performed only for the purpose of Pirsumei Nisa. Accordingly, the Bahag's position is understood. Although women are mechuyev in Pirsumei Nisa and are required to hear the Megillah, they cannot be mitzi men, since they're not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Hallel, and therefore are not obligated to read the Megillah, as are men mechuyev to read the Megillah. The Marcheshes points out that according to his explanation, the Bahag should agree that women can be mitzi men on the night of Purim, since at night a man's mitzvah of Megillah is the same as the woman's, in the fact that they only have an obligation in Pirsumei Nisa to hear the Megillah, and neither are obligated in Hallel at night. The Magen Avram in Siman Tov Reish Pei Tes Sifkot and Vav brings a Zohar Chadash that says that a woman should preferably not read the Megillah herself, but should listen to a man reading the Megillah. Going back to the Gemara, the Lashon of Hakol Chayovin B'Zimun, the Gemara here is just going through many places where it brings down the word Hakol and what Hakol comes to include. So Hakol Chayovin B'Zimun comes to include Nashim V'Avadim, where Nashim are Mechuyev in Zimun, but they're only mechuyev in Zimun with other women. The Hakol by Hazah, by Paraduma, comes to include an Orel as well. The Hakol by Yerushalayim teaches us that one can force his family to move to Yerushalayim, even if they're leaving a very pretty place to go to not such a nice neighborhood in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says people are traveling during the day, who are traveling during the day, are putter from the mitzvah of Sukkah by day. But once night comes, if they stop, then they are mechuyev in Sukkah. Finally, tefillin shel yad is not ma'akev the tefillin shel reish, and vice versa. So if you can only put on one, for example, if the kohen has big day kahuna and he can't wear one of the tefillin, then that's okay as well, as long as he wears one of them. Daf Dalet. In the time when yovel is chal, if a person sells a field, the first 2 years he cannot redeem it, but a kohen can redeem it. If a kohen is in the middle of the avoda and the zman of Megillah on Purim comes along, then he must stop the avoda for Mikra Megillah. The mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel was done in Adar, but the Kayin was putter from giving the Machzis HaShekel. That's why we read Parsha Shkolim right before Rosh Chodesh Adar. If a person makes an eder to give the value of a mace or a specific organ, the erchin is not chal. If a person says, I'll give an erchin, but he doesn't say for what age person, he must give the minimum amount of 3, which is for a female who is 1 month to 5 years old. why not say that you should give the maximum, which is 50 shkalim? Our answer is tafasta meruba, like tafasta, tafasta muat, tafasta. You can only expect to get what you can really get. But if you try to grab too much, then the person will not go along with it. Finally, Rabba holds that nidain bichvaidai, meaning that if a person makes a neder to give the value of an organ which a person needs to stay alive, for example, a heart, then he must give the full value of that person to the Beis HaMikdash. Daf Hei, the Mishnah. A child is under 1 month old. He can be the subject of a neder of damim, but not the subject of a neder of erchin. Gemara. If someone does use this baby for an erchin, Rameir says he gives the market value of the child, and the Chachamim say his statement has no meaning at all. If someone is makdish, his friend's animal, he must give the market value of that animal. The next Mishnah. A guy can serve as a subject for an erech, but cannot make a neder on someone else. Rabbi Yehuda says vice versa. Gemara. Since the Pasuk says in Ma'ikra Chav Zayin, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, regarding erechin, we learn that a guy cannot make such a neder. Finally, Klal Yisrael did not take money or labor help from the Goyim to build a Beis HaMikdash because they were afraid once they would get involved politically, they would stop the entire construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Davvav. If a Goy makes an Adava for the Beis HaMikdash after it was built, in that case, we can accept it. If a Goy donated a wooden beam to a shul and the Shem Hashem was written on it, if his Kavana was good, then we can accept it, but we can't use the part with the Shem Hashem on it. If a person says this Sela should be for Tzedakah, he can swap it for a different Sela and use the original one for himself. But once he gave the Sela to the Gabbai Tzedakah, then he cannot swap it. The next Mishnah. One who is a Geisus, a person who is about to die, or someone who is being led out to be put to death, he cannot make a neder of Erechin or be the subject of such a neder. Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya says, if he is being led to his death, he can be the subject, since the Torah still says he has a worth. If he hasn't died yet, then he's worth whatever he's worth at that age that he's at. Gemara. In the Seifa, there is a machlekes, if milva al peh, goiva min ayershim, or not. Daf Zayin. A person who has been sentenced to death, the rule is that Bezdin cannot postpone it for too long, because it will be too painful for the person to have to wait. If someone digs a pit in Rishus HaRabim, and an axe fell on him and killed him, the Bal Hashor is potter, and if the axe dies, the Yarshim of the Bal Habor must pay. The Mishnah. If a pregnant woman is taken out to be put to death because she's Chayav Misa, we do not wait for the baby to be born, but we kill her immediately, because it's considered Chad Gufa. The Vlad is considered to be part of the woman. The Ran, in Chulin, Daf Pei Gimel, cites Rabbeinu Tam, who rules regarding other laws of the Torah, that uber lav yarachime. A fetus is viewed as a separate entity, not just part of the mother. This is brought in Kuntres al Adaf. The Ran explains that the reason Bezdin does not wait for the birth of the fetus is that there is an obligation on Bezdin to carry out the execution of the convicted offender without delay, to spare them the mental anguish of waiting for Inui Hadin, for her execution. The Ran indicates that an unborn fetus is not considered a chai, and therefore the Isra of Inui Hadin takes precedence over the life of a fetus. Most Paiskim, however, are of the opinion that an unborn fetus is considered a chai, and killing it is considered resicha, it's considered murder. The Marit in Chelek Aleph, Simen Sadek Zayin, explains that the reason for not delaying the mother's execution to save the fetus is that Uber Yerachime, the unborn fetus, is viewed as a limb of its mother, and therefore the fetus in this case is condemned to death together with the mother. Continuing in the Mishnah, but if she went into labor before the Gemar Din, then we wait for her to give birth. If a woman was killed, her hair is mutter bahana, but a behema which is killed, its hair is usser bahana. The Gemara. If labor began, we wait because at this point the vlad is considered to be a separate human being. Mar Rabashi says, a tail of a lizard, even after the lizard is dead, its tail can still jump around even after it is cut off. If a woman went into labor on Shabbos and died, they bring a knife to get out the vlad, since maybe the child is still alive. And you can even carry the knife in Rishus HaRabim, which is a malacha d'oraisa, since there is safek pikuach nefesh. And as we know, if a building falls on someone on Shabbos, you can be mechal Shabbos due to safek pikuach nefesh. If you're not even sure if the person is still alive under the rubble, you can still clean it up, because maybe he is alive. The Ramban, by the way, explains the halacha of pikuach nefesh doich Shabbos is based on the rationale of Amru Torah, chilel alav Shabbos achas, kadei sheyishmar Shabbosais harbe. The Torah would rather that one violate one Shabbos to preserve a person's life so as to facilitate the observance of many subsequent Shabbosais, as is brought in the Gemara in Shabbos, daf kufnun aleph amud beis. Accordingly, even if an unborn fetus is not considered a chai, it's mutter to violate Shabbos in order to enable it to enter this world and observe many Shabbosais. Furthermore, the Rabban says that it's even mutter to violate Shabbos for the sake of a fetus which was within the first 40 days after conception, even though a fetus which is less than 40 days after conception is considered maya bialma, just water, and has no halachic significance, it's permitted to violate Shabbos on its behalf because this new fetus will eventually observe many Shabbosais. Finally, the Gemara says that once a woman dies, you cannot have hana from her hair because any part of a mace is asur b'hana. Our Mishnah is referring to a wig, a peah nachris, that she was wearing, and she said before she died, give it to my daughter. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin parak beis, ein ne'erachin, the Mishnah. There is no din of erech for less than a sela, and there is no din of erech for more than 50 slain. Gemara, if someone borrows from two people, the second malva can collect from the first. The Torah in Vayikra, Perakov Zayin, Pasuk Ches, says that if a person takes an Erech vow, and he is too poor to afford the standard Erech payment, as the Torah says, then he's only required to pay as much as the Kohen assesses he can afford. The Mishnah on Dav Zayin Amud Bey says that the smallest possible Erech payment is one Sela. If one has less than a Sela and he makes an Erech vow, he does not pay, nor is he assessed until he acquires more money. If someone owns five slaim, and he makes two nidre erech at the exact same time, how much does he have to give to each? The Gemara says, teiku. The next Mishnah, as background. If a woman sees dam nida, midaraisa, she must wait 7 days, and then she can go to the mikvah. We're machmir today, in that first we count 5 days before we do a hefsik tara, and only then she can then count 7 days and then go to the mikvah. In those days, there was also something called dam ziva. For that, it can last as long as 17 days. And the Mishnah says, if a woman lost track of her cycle, and she sees dam, and doesn't know if it's dam nida or dam ziva, so she needs a minimum of 7 clean days, or a maximum of 17 clean days, to be certain that the next re'iyah is dam nida. Gemara. If she saw one day of re'iyah, she'll need 17 days to know for sure the next re'iyah is nida. The worst case scenario, the one day was Nida, so now she needs 6 more of Nikiyam, of Nida, and a new 11 more days for Ziva, which is a total of 17 days. So the next time she sees Dam, it'll be Dam Nida. A woman who lost track of her cycle, we say that she's a Zava, and she must bring a Karban after 7 clean days, i.e. an Oila and a Chatas. The next Mishnah. By certain types of Negoim, the minimum time needed to reach a state of Tahara is 1 week, but the maximum is 3 weeks. Gemara, a nega on a man, the shear of 1 week is applicable. A nega on a house, however, it's possible to have to wait 3 weeks. If the scales of justice wouldn't be helped by Hashem, i.e. that helped to increase the weight of the schusim, our averus would drag the scales down the wrong way, and wouldn't be very good because we would have too many averus. Others say what this is referring to is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu buries the Averis under the Kisei HaKavod. The next Mishnah, as background. A lunar month, which is what we use to calculate the months within the Jewish calendar, are about 29 and a half days each. To be exact, a lunar month is 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalokim. A chelik, by the way, is 1/1080th of an hour, or 3 1/3 seconds for each chelik. So 793 chalakim equals 44 minutes and 3 1/3 seconds. So really, what a typical month, which typical time from one month to the next is 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and 3 1/3 seconds. So it's 29 and a half days approximately per month. Since, of course, a month has to have a full number of days, you can't have 29 and a half days in a month. So the months are split between days, months which are 29 days, which is called chaser, or 30 days, which is called mole. So generally speaking, it turns out that about half the months of the year are shortened, 29 days are chaser, and the other half of the months are mole. They have 30 days. So it ends up in total, a typical year is anywhere between 353 and 355 days, which of course is a little bit shorter than the solar year, which is 365 days in a regular year, or 366 days in a leap year, where February has 29 days. Today, by the way, we have a 19-year cycle, which repeats itself, of course, every 19 years. 12 of those years are years which are Shanais Pshutais, which have the regular 12 months, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teve, Shvat, Adar, and so on. And in 7 of those years, we add a 13th month. We add an Adar, Aleph, and as well as an Adar Beis. Those are the 3rd, the 6th, the 8th, the 11th, the 14th, the 17th, and the 19th years. In the 12 years which are not leap years, it turns out that 5 of the months are Mole, 5 of the months are Chaser, and 2 of them can go either way. The 2 months which can go either way are Cheshvan and Kislev. It could end up that both Cheshvan and Kislev have 30 days, which means the year would have 355 days. It could turn out that both Cheshvan and Kislev are both 29 days, which means the year would have 353 days. And it could turn out that you have one of each. One is 29 and one is 30, which means you'd have 354 days to that year, which is basically sort of the average year. You'll have 6 months which are mole and 6 months which are chaser. When you have a leap year, you could also have that same kind of situation. In the case of Adar Aleph, which is the extra month that's added on, even though Adar Beis or Adar in a non-leap year normally has 29 days, Adar Aleph will always have 30 days. So it ends up that you're adding the month, the year can have anywhere between 383 and 385 days. Now let's learn the Mishnah. There are never less than 4 months which are mole, and never more than 8 months which are mole. Again, mole means that the months have 30 days. The Shtei HaLechem of Shavuos are never eaten less than 2 days from baking, or more than 3. The Lechem HaPanim are never eaten before the 9th day, or after the 11th day. This ends up that if Thursday and Friday was Yontif, you'd have that situation. A child is never circumcised before the 8th day, but he is never circumcised after the 12th day. I.e., if he was born, for example, on Friday, Ben HaShemashas, so he can't do the bris on Shabbos, because Shabbos is a suffix. And if Yontif is now after Shabbos on Sunday and Monday, you have the same suffix. So he must then wait until Tuesday. Of course, if a child is not well, then of course we would do it after the 12th day. We're talking under normal conditions here. As we mentioned, the Mishnah says that there is a maximum of 8 months of a year which can be mole, and a minimum of 4 months. Our calendar, by the way, allows for 8 in a Shana Me'uberes. In a leap year, it's possible to have as many, a maximum of 8. Of course, the usual months of Tishrei, Shvat, Adar Aleph, Nisan, Sivan, and Av. If it's a year which is completely mole, then Cheshvan and Kislev as well. So you have the 8. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Shvat, Adar Aleph, Nisan, Sivan, and Av. That's the maximum. In a regular year, which is not a leap year, so 7 is the maximum that you can have. You don't have the Adar Aleph. And a maximum of 7 of 29-day months. Cheshvan and Kislev. If Cheshvan and Kislev are chaser, then you would have a maximum of 7 months that have 29 days. Tosfos Divrei HaMaschil Mechad points out that our calendar is different than what our Mishnah and Gemara says here. Since it's mashma that you can have a maximum of 8 months, which are mole, even in a Shana Pshuta, even in a non-leap year, which would actually come out that you have 356 days, which is impossible, because the maximum number of days that we could possibly have in a Pshuta year are 355 days. So we're not noig, according to what this Gemara says, the 8, it's impossible. In fact, we're not noig to the point that if the Moilid of Tishrei falls out on Tuesday morning, if one makes the calculation, this new year would have to be 356 days, and you'd have to have 8 Malayim. However, in this case, the calendar which was developed pushes Rosh Hashanah from Tuesday all the way to Thursday, and thereby the year only has 354 days. So in fact, only in a Shana Muberes is it possible to have 8 months which are Mole. Shana Pshuta, the maximum is 7. 7, of course, you get, as we mentioned before, the 5 regular months, which are Tishrei, Shvat, Nisan, Sivan, and Av, as well as Cheshvan and Kislev, if it's a year which is completely mole of 355 days, but you can never have 356 days. So says Tosfos. Daf Tes, the Gemara. The Chachamim needed a good balance of Mole and Chaser, so they didn't want too many of one or the other. Ula holds that in a leap year, the extra month has 30 days. And according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it can be 29 or 30 days. This is the Adar Aleph that we have in a leap year. Shavuos will always come out on the same day as the Karban Omer, i.e. Tezayin Nisan, which is the second day of Pesach. Rosh Hashanah will always come out on the day after Tezayin Nisan. Of course, we know the famous rule of At Bash, which allows us that if you know when Pesach falls out, you can figure out any other Yom Tov of the year. And the siman there is At Bash, meaning that you take the Aleph, the first day of Pesach, corresponds with the Tuf, which means equivalent here to Tisha B'Av. So whenever the first Pesach, for example, falls out on Thursday, so Tuf, the first day of Pesach, Tisha B'Av, will also be on Thursday. The Shin, which is the second day, the Bash, which is the Beis, the second day of Pesach, always will come out, or Shavuos will always come out, the Shin will always come out whenever the second day of Pesach is. So if the second day of Pesach is Friday, so Shavuos will come out as well on Friday. And the Reish, which corresponds to the third day, which is here what the Gemara says, will always come out on the third day of Pesach. So in this case, for example, where Pesach falls out on Thursday, so Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, the third day, Rosh Hashanah will be on Shabbos. Or, as the Gemara says, on the day after Tezayin Nisan, which is Yud Zayin Nisan, which of course Tezvav, Tezayin, Yud Zayin, is the third day of Pesach. Now that we've mentioned that the first day is equivalent to Tisha B'Av, the second day is Shavuos, the third day is Rosh Hashanah, the fourth day is the Kuf, which is Kriyas HaTorah or Simchas Torah, the fifth day is the Tzadik, which is Tzom or Yom Kippur, and the sixth day is Pei, which is for Purim. Here, it's not the Purim that's later or 11 months after the Pesach, but it's referring to the Purim, which is the Purim before the Pesach that we're referring to. So this year, for example, Tavshin Nun Zayin, when Pesach falls out on Tuesday, so the Purim that preceded it, which is the Purim we just celebrated a few weeks ago, was on Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, the sixth day, the Pei, the Purim from before. The Gemara says if there are 6 months of Mole and six of Chaser, then Shavuos in 1 year will be 4 days later than the year before it, if it is in a leap year. If it is a leap year, then it's 5 days. Calculation here is very simple, because in a year which has six and six, the year is 354 days. 350 is perfectly divisible by 7, and now you have 4 days left. So Shavuos will come out 4 days later than the year before. Finally, Shmuel says that the lunar year has a minimum of 352 days and a maximum of 356, depending on how many chaserim and maleim you have. Of course, as we mentioned, practically speaking, today it's only between 353 and 355. Daf Yud, the Mishnah. We never have less than 21 trumpet tekiyas daily in the Beis HaMikdash, and there was never more than 48. Generally, when they opened up the gates of the Azara, it was done. When they brought the Tamid Baboiker, it was done. And the Tamid Shabbein HaRabayim as well. On Shabbos and Yontav, there is more for Musaf, and even more for Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos. The Mishnah says when the Levim sang Shira, then there had to be at least 2 Nevalim instruments, and a maximum of 6. And when they used the Cholil, there had to be at least 2 of them, and the Cholil was used 12 times per year. The Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda says that some hold that Tekiya Trua Tekiya is considered one long blow, while others hold that each of the three is considered a separate blow. That's why the Mishnah says 21 blows instead of 7 times 3. On Rosh Hashanah, we have separate tekiyas for Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofros.